It's a truism that a picture is worth a thousand words. When we open a newspaper, we see an image captured by a photographer, chosen to do more than share that captured moment, but to evoke powerful emotions. It was the image of a dead toddler on a beach that shocked us into responding to the human impact of the refugee crisis. But this morning, front pages carried a celebratory shot of members of the Welsh rugby team reacting to victory, marking a sensational night of glory. The centre page of today's Guardian is devoted to images from across the world capturing this week's news. On this occasion, the eyewitnessed section was devoted to the Pope on tour. Pope Francis riding down Fifth Avenue, nuns waving and smiling to greet his arrival at St. Patrick's Cathedral, meeting Fidel Castro at his home in Havana, meeting with Barack Obama at the White House, and finally, an image of dozens of Congress staff, smartphones held aloft, trying to capture a picture, trying to hold a moment, taking selfies, proving that they were there. Would we capture the photo and miss the moment, or miss the photo and become captivated by the moment? Pope Francis has indeed captivated the world's media this week in a particularly intense way. Images have captured his presence, but it was his words that captured our attention. He set out a bold vision of social responsibility. He challenged a nation's representatives to defend and preserve the dignity of their citizens, particularly those in situations of vulnerability and risk. He began by drawing our attention to Moses, as ours is in this evening's first lesson, Exodus 24. Pope Francis reminds us that Moses is the patriarch and lawgiver of the people of Israel. In his words, he symbolizes the need of peoples to keep alive their sense of unity by means of just legislation. On the other hand, Moses is, as Pope Francis expresses it, one who leads us directly to God and thus to the transcendent dignity of the human being. Moses, we hear this evening, is called to draw near to God. He does so alone, yet he's surrounded by others who continue to worship. He is a leader, leading others to God. He faces the holiness of God, glimpses the glory. Such glory is like fire. Fire gives energy, warmth, and light. It also consumes and refines. To be called upon to wait in the presence of such holiness transforms us. Holiness is the very nature of God. It is other, transcendent, compelling. This, our worship, is our mountaintop. Here we glimpse God's character in the beauty of music and silence, in the repeated hymn of glory, in the repeated words of blessing, in the repeated joy, justice, trust, and light of the Magnificat and Nunc Dimittis. What we glimpse, we are called to receive. What we receive, we are called to share. Moses is called to tell the people the words of the Lord, the commandments and ordinances which we too are called to love. They are God's communication to us. For God calls us away from violence, deceit, envy, and a desire to possess what is not ours. God calls us to a love of him, to love our neighbor as ourselves. This is the way of holiness. We too are called to the pursuit of justice and mercy, compassion and generosity. Moses symbolizes unity under just legislation. Moses leads us to God and reveals the transcendent dignity of our shared humanity. The people of Israel are wholehearted in their repeated assertion that they will do what he has spoken. We know that the biblical narrative reveals repeated failures on our part to do the words spoken by God, to put into practice the holiness demanded of us or called forth from us when we encounter God. Yet God remains faithful to us. As symbolized in the ancient ritual enacted by Moses, there is an everlasting covenant. It is one that requires our obedience. As David Stendhal-Rast writes in Music of Silence, obedience does not mean just doing what you're told, the sort of obedience a dog learns in obedience school. It means loving listening to the word of God that comes to us moment by moment. This sort of intensive listening demands a choice in every situation. Will our response be life-giving, or will we continue in our lazy habits or give in to our personal whims? We are led to God in worship, to the holiness of his love, light and glory. We are united in obedience to God's commands. We are committed to preserving the dignity of the other. We are, in short, called to be a holy people. Pope Francis addressed Congress, the people of the United States, and each one of us with this call. For we too are called to sustain the life of society, to generate solidarity. We too face moments of crisis and tension, and we seek to move forward with wisdom and dignity. In his speech, Pope Francis uses Abraham Lincoln, Martin Luther King, Dorothy Day, and Thomas Merton as examples of people who help us to see